We're wrapping up our series on the Lord's Prayer today. This is part six. So if you missed any Sundays with us, I hope you go back. You can tap the tab on our website that says sermons up at the top, and you can go back and hear the previous week's sermons. So there's five more installments before today. This is part six of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be dealing with that phrase, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. But let's all stand together, and if you want to read it out of your Bible, or if you have it memorized, I want to encourage you to memorize the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version, and let's pray that prayer together right now before the Lord. Alan will put it up here on the screen, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And again, if you don't have it memorized, you can cheat and look at the screen. Amen? Let's pray the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, we've been saying all along, and I want to continue in this vein, that this is a prayer that is designed to be a structure. Amen? It's designed to give your prayer life some structure. It's not meant to be just recited by rote, although there's nothing wrong with quoting it like we did just now. Amen? Word for word. How many of you know Jesus' words have power? Amen? Amen? But the Lord's Prayer is meant to give a structure. In other words, you can, while you're starting your day off in prayer, you can stop at a phrase, say, for example, give us this day our daily bread. And you can stop and say, you know, Lord, I need this and this and this today, or I'm going to be going here and I'm going to need wisdom for that, or I'm going to need provision here. And so you can spring off of these phrases, use them as a launching pad. Are you with me? For personalized prayer. That's where I'm going. Okay. Make it personal. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, pray it, but make it from your heart. Make it personal. Amen. Now, something I should point out, I have not said up until now with the series, and that is that the Lord's Prayer was actually given to the disciples under the old covenant. It's important for you to recognize that. I haven't really felt to point that out up until now, but technically it is an old covenant prayer because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. When did the new covenant start? After the resurrection, the cross. Amen. The cross, Calvary. That Jesus said, remember the night he was betrayed, he said, this is the blood of my covenant, a new covenant I'm making with you, right? So that was the start of the new covenant when he went to the cross and when he was resurrected. We started what we call the new covenant. That's why your Bible starts with Matthew. It calls it the New Testament. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels. And I like what one minister said. He said, there are parts of the Bible that are written for us, but not necessarily to us. Do you understand the difference? Because if you look in Matthew, Mark, and this is why sometimes it's difficult to understand the Gospels, is because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. Jesus is primarily talking to who? Jews. The Jews, right? Because they are God's covenant people from Matthew back all the way to Genesis, which covers about 4,000 years of history. All right? So Jesus is talking to his covenant nation, the Jews. And that's why, like I said, so many of the parables are difficult to understand, wrap our brain around, because number one, it doesn't have to do with our kind of culture. We're a computer culture nowadays. I mean, there's not even much industry going on here. It's all in China. But, you know, most of our industry here has to do with typing on a computer. But in their day, it was agriculture, right? That's why Jesus used all these parables that had to do with plants and seeds and cattle and different things, right? But Jesus is talking to the Jews. However, that doesn't say that those parts of the Bible are not for us. They're for us. But the part that's written to us in this dispensation, or this church age, as we call it, is which parts of the Bible? Thank you, Bunny. The epistles. The epistles are the letters written to the church. That's the Gentiles. That's you and I, right? Raised, and when Jesus raised from the dead, boy, it started a whole new thing. Now, not only the Jews could be saved by Jesus, but now the whole world could be saved by Jesus. And that includes Swedes, Germans, French, all, you name it. All of us, other people besides the Jews. So from Romans to Revelation is the epistles. Those are letters written to the church. Everything is written for our benefit. Amen. So we read the whole Bible, but we focus on the epistles primarily. I just wanted to just preface this teaching today with that. Now, that said, the Lord's Prayer has principles within it and power within it that is applicable as a kingdom. It's a kingdom principle. The Lord's Prayer has kingdom principles throughout. For example, if we don't forgive those who have sinned against us, we understand what? We are opening the door for trouble in our life. Right? And that's why he said, forgive us our debts as we're sure to forgive our debtors. It's an eye looking to heaven, but also another eye that's looking horizontally saying, I'll treat my brother right. I'll treat my neighbor right because I know you've forgiven me, right? And so it's a principle there of responsibility before God to walk in forgiveness. So those principles all through the Lord's Prayer are applicable for us as people living in the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. I had one person come up to me a week or two back when we were teaching that the phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And they told me, they said, Pastor Scott, that was for me today. That message was just for me. Because why? They were struggling with the temptation to not walk in forgiveness. And that reminder from the Lord's Prayer kind of put them back into kingdom alignment, which we all should walk in, which is what? Forgiveness. Amen. And how many of you know from time to time we all need to be reminded, let it go. Amen. Cancel the debt. It's good for you to say that regularly on your lips. I cancel the debt with that person. I cancel the debt. I'm not going to hold it against them. Amen. We need to be people with a muscle built up in our souls that has been established in a regular practice of forgiveness. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer teaches us that. Another principle we studied in the Lord's Prayer that is very applicable to our prayer life, and that is this. The kingdom is about other people, not just you. And we talked about how the Lord's Prayer, all throughout it, there's phrases like, forgive us, give us. And Jesus did not instruct us to go in our quiet closet of prayer and just pray for only us. I mean, like me, like solo. We're always supposed to be focused outward. And that's what the Lord's Prayer teaches us as well. The kingdom is made up of others, right? And so we're praying, Lord, I need daily bread, but how about my brother over here? How about my sister over here? And so it keeps us mindful of the fact that the kingdom involves others. So that's another principle we can get. You know, I imagine there's a class in heaven for people who maybe on this side of heaven have not quite learned about getting beyond themselves. And so I kind of picture kind of humorously this angel standing up before this classroom of people that are, you know, this is a special class. You only come to the special class if you meet the qualification. And you're sitting there before the angel and he's got a whiteboard and he's pointing to certain things. He's pointing to certain phrases on the board such as, life's not about you only. Right, George? Life's not just about you, George. We talked about that at Christmas time, George Bailey. Right? Life's not just about you. No man is an island to himself. And he looks at the class and says, repeat after me, class. No man is an island to himself. And he teaches us big words like U.S., us. Repeat after me, class. Us. Right? And things like we or our Father, right? To remind us that the kingdom's not just about us. To help us get past self-centeredness. There's people that when we get to heaven, I hope I don't qualify for that class, but they haven't quite learned yet that, you know, you got to get past yourself, right? But our focus today is going to be on verse 13, the last part. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, just so you know, technically, that part, and some of your Bibles have it in parentheses. How many of you have it in some sort of bracket or parentheses, or there's some sort of footnote with that phrase in your Bible, maybe a modern translation? The reason for that is that in the earliest manuscripts from which we get the New Testament, when they discovered, like, for example, the Dead Sea Scrolls and different scrolls from which they translated into English our Bibles, they did not have that phrase in it. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power and the glory forever. A lot of the earliest manuscripts. Now, when they wrote the Bible in our language, what they did is they compared, because they had multiple. The Bible is amazing in that they found over time, they found multiple versions of the same book, right? There might be 5 or 10 versions of Matthew that they found historically. And so they look and they say, well, this version of Matthew was dated at, you know, 200 AD, 200 years after Jesus. This one was dated at 400 AD. And it was in some of those later manuscripts that it looks like that phrase was added. And so some Bible scholars believe that our church fathers added this as a, what we call a doxology, a praise, like a hymn of praise to conclude the Lord's Prayer. All right. So whichever way you believe, and you know, we don't get technical about it, but some, like I said, some manuscripts had it in there and some didn't. So, but the fact that some did proves that it could have been from our Lord's lips that he said, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But however, the principle is based on Scripture. That's the important thing for you to know, whichever way you feel, whether your Bible does or doesn't include that phrase. But if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, just go ahead and turn over there in your Bible. 1 Chronicles, that's back, keep your finger in Matthew 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You know, David was the second king of Israel. And one of the saddest remarks in the Bible, I think, along with that one in Genesis where it says, and God was heartbroken that he had made man. Here's another one. It's in 2 Samuel. If you put that up, please, Alan, on the board. 1 Samuel 8, 7. God said this to Samuel before Saul, the first king of Israel, was raised up as the king, the natural king. And God said this about the nation. He says, they have rejected me as their king. He said, don't be upset, Samuel. It's not you they've rejected. They've rejected me. Why? Because up to that point, God had been king. Jehovah had been the king of the nation. Amen. Anytime they went out to battle, they didn't have to have a natural king riding out on a white stallion. They knew God was thundering ahead of them in the unseen realm. And if they needed, a little advantage, God would hurl down hailstones. And the Bible says in one incident, he killed more people with his hailstones than the Israeli army killed with their swords. Amen. So up until that point, he had been king. But by the time we get to Saul and David, later, we see God said, they've rejected me as king. But God allowed them to have King Saul. And then later, as he rejected Saul because of his sin, he raised up David. David was the second king of Israel. And look in 1 Chronicles 29. Are you there? This is what David said in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. He said, blessed be thou, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Does that sound familiar? Yes. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Thus, the principle that is quoted in Matthew 6:13 is scripturally based. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with quoting it, and there's nothing wrong with praying it. I'm not going to get technical about whether it was or wasn't in the Bible originally. The principle is true. Thine is the kingdom. Amen? Thine is the power. Amen? Thine is the glory. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what David quoted here in 1 Chronicles 29. Look at Romans 11:36 here on the board. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to have Alan pull it up here on the screen. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Say it with me. For from him and through him and to him are all things. You know, that talent that comes so easily for you, if you're a person who paints or a sculptor or a person who draws it, you know, it just feels like it comes natural to you. It's not natural, because the person next to you, they would be drawing stick people. My wife tells me often, she says, you and Rachel got the creative genes. But she actually has creativity in other ways. Cooking, yes. Excellent. She's an artist in that kitchen. I can't touch it. And I don't. I do oatmeal, waffles, and eggs. Okay. But she's the cook. But that's her specialty. But that which feels like it comes natural for us really is a gift from him and through him, and therefore to him the credit or the glory should go. Amen? Just like Romans 11:36 tells us. Thine is the kingdom. I want to say this about that idea of kingdom. We haven't been taught a lot about kingdom, but I want to say this. It's very important for you to hear. The kingdom is greater than the church. The kingdom of God is greater than the local church. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if I look back over my life, 40 years or so of being married and being in ministry, I can tell you there's two, maybe three or four churches that I've been to or ministered to over the years. They're no longer even in existence. I had to keep playing like a frog leaping to lily pads when I was trying to keep my credentials up to date, because one church that ordained me, later they closed, and then I had to get ordained from another church, and then that church folded, and finally I got ordained through the Bible school I was with. I think they'll be around for a while, and so my credentials are with Christ for the Nations now, but I did that because it seemed like over history things changed, and things do change. And for various reasons, in fact, the building that we're about to step into was for the last 20 years a church. And for whatever reason, the pastor there has gotten to a point in life where he's saying, it's my time, my season of ministry is up. Amen. So there's been a change for him. There's been a change for his church. And churches do come and go. Ministers do come and go. People fall. People fail. But the king will live forever. Amen. I said the kingdom will be here forever. You know, last week we talked about, it was Easter, so we talked about the Messiah. And one of the prophecies we brought out was where he said the king will come through the line of David, and he will reign forever and ever. Isaiah echoes the same sentiment when he says, "And of his kingdom and the increase of his government, there shall be what?
No end."
No end. Amen. So I don't care if tomorrow all the churches fold in Texas or the United States. The kingdom will keep going.
Amen.
Amen. So don't get your eyes on the material things. Don't get your eyes on natural things. You keep your eyes on the king and the kingdom. It's very important. Amen. A church is only as good as it's tied into the kingdom. Amen. It's his agenda. Thine is the power, the kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's his agenda we're following. And when a church quits following, that's when we get into the trouble that Paul talked about with Timothy. He said there are people out there that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Whoa. Never want that to be said of our church. Amen? And the key to it all is to keep in this mindset that we learn from the Lord's Prayer. Thine. Say thine.
Thine.
A modern word is yours. Lord, yours is this kingdom. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to Believer's Fellowship. It's his. We are given the privilege of participating in the kingdom. Amen. And God works through the local church. Amen. I'm not belittling the local church at all. In fact, God's channel, his avenue of bringing the kingdom into the earth is through the local church.
Amen.
And through the fivefold ministry and the saints who learn from the fivefold ministry. Amen. So don't ever cozy up to someone who's got a strong reputation for bad mouth in the body of Christ or the church or ministers. You might as well just find a new friend if you want to do well. Find a new friend. Why? Because God's channel for working in the earth is through the church. It's through his ministers. Whether they come and go, whether they fall or fail, it doesn't matter. God raises up one. Amen. And if that man falls, he was an earthen vessel to begin with. Amen. But God works through people. Aren't you glad? Even you. Even me. He works through cracked vessels. However, that is his choice. He works through the church. He works through his vessels. Don't ever let someone talk you into bad-mouthing that channel. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over there in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Several books to the right. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We were all baptized when we got saved, by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Look at the first part of that verse again. When you and I got born again, the Bible says right here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, we were baptized, we were immersed in, by the Holy Spirit, into what? One body. This is a supernatural occurrence. When you gave your heart to Jesus, the Bible says the Holy Spirit took you and immersed you into the body of Christ. He meshed you in to the body itself here on earth. Now, you may become an elbow, an earlobe, a big toe, a pinky finger. We don't know. That's the mystery of being a part of the body of Christ, isn't it? But all of us were joined to the body. All of us were given an identity to fulfill in that body. And all of us were empowered. Amen? Say empowered.
Empowered.
You've been empowered to fulfill that which God has made you in the body of Christ. But listen, you and I, just in the natural, like when we were born, we didn't choose our body. Our body was given to us, right? So what? Be good to your body.
Amen.
Be good to the body of Christ. You know, don't get into a routine of complaining about your church. Because all the things you're complaining about, Jesus could be complaining about it towards you. The people that are flawed around you, when you see their flaws, listen, we are a bunch who are learning to, as the scripture says, we cover in love. Love covers. Amen. Now, if there's sin that needs to be addressed, that's when we speak the truth in love. But it's a practice, a regular practice we should all be in as members of the body, that we cover in love. You see a weak brother, you cover him in love. You don't sit and talk about and badmouth their faults, their weaknesses. Amen. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Be good to your body. Be good to your body. Never play the role of the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan's role. Satan's role is the accuser of the brethren. If you and I partner with him in accusation, in criticizing, in badmouthing other members of the body, we are literally joining forces with the devil. Hey, we're all flawed vessels. We're all human vessels in this bunch. And we're all, but you know, in God's eyes, he sees us perfect now. He sees us perfect now, but we're being perfected. Amen. You're perfect in Christ, but you're being perfected along the way. Amen. Look at this verse in Colossians 1:12. We'll have Alan put it up on the slide. Just look up here on the slide, on the screen, excuse me. Giving thanks to the Father who has what? Qualified you. You've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. What's the qualification? The blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? All right. If you're washed, you're qualified. Amen. You're qualified to be here with us in this room filled with members of the body of Christ. You are washed in the blood. Your sins are forgiven. You are qualified. And I'm telling you, there's an immense treasure chest of riches right here in this room in the body of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians that the inheritance of the saints, it talks about the inheritance of the saints. Amen. That we may know the, let me just flip over there real quick. You can turn there with me if you like. It's in Ephesians 1. We studied it in our Wednesday night class. Ephesians 1:18. To know the hope of our calling, the riches, say the riches. The riches. Of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where is God's riches lie? God's riches lie in the saints. Amen? So when we say, thine is the kingdom, when we say that to the Lord, we're saying, we're acknowledging, God, this kingdom is of you. And you've qualified me to be in this kingdom. Respect the kingdom, saints. Listen, for years I would rag on TV preachers. And you know what I'm learning? I'm getting to where I actually like seeing their limp. L-I-M-P. I actually enjoy it once I discover a minister's fault. Why? Because it reminds me he's human. Are you with me? I used to criticize once I saw. I could look with nitpicky eyes and I could go, ah, there it is. There it is. You know, that's their Achilles heel. Now I revel in it. Why? Because it reminds me they're human. We're all human. Amen. We've all got a limp. Amen. We've all got a crack. We're all flawed. Amen. And in Jesus, that's beautiful because it's the blood that qualifies us to be in the body of Christ. Amen. And if you're going to be in this room, if you're going to enjoy what God has poured into the body, the riches he's given us in the body, you've got to be willing to see the cracks, see the flaws, and understand that the blood covers it all. Amen. Amen. The blood covers it all and covers yours too. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. You may have already turned over there. Ephesians 3:10. Look at that verse. This is really powerful. We're studying this on Wednesday night. We're working our way through the book of Ephesians. It's been slow but good. And Ephesians 3:10, in the King James Version, it says, now God's intent was unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Say, by the church. Not by some, you know, solo act, not by some hot dog, you know, hot shot solo Christian, but by the church, that group of flawed people I was just talking about. By the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, God for 2,000 years has let a show go on before the angelic hosts, before the host of heaven, and before the principalities of darkness. He has let a show go on called the church age. Aren't you glad? I don't know why he hasn't, you know, the day after Jesus rose from the dead, why didn't he just take us all to heaven? No, he's let the show go on. Because this verse here tells us that the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed on the earth through the church. That's amazing. That blows my mind. You know, I look at a lot of people and I go, I'm not even as smart as them. But God says in his word that I, as a member of the church, am displaying his manifold wisdom through my life. Praise the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, when we acknowledge thine is the power, the kingdom, thine is the power and thine is the glory. When we give him the honor, the glory, when we follow his direction, when, you know, that phrase when it says thine is the kingdom. I'm jumping ahead in my notes here, but I'll go ahead and do that. Thine is the kingdom. What does that mean when we say thine is the kingdom? It's not a word that we use here in the United States because we're under a democracy. It's kind of a different feel governmentally. But the word of kingdom has to do with rulership, right? When we say thine is the kingdom, you might say it this way. God, you call the shots, right? That's what we're really saying. God calls the shots. Thine is the kingdom. God calls the shots. And when God calls the shots in your life, it's glorious. In fact, it's so amazing that angels stop and stare, and demons stop and stare. We were talking about this Wednesday night in our class, and I pointed out this, that, you know, if you got in a fight with somebody and you overpowered them and you knocked them to the ground, you know, your boasting isn't the fact that you got them to the ground. Your boasting is how you got them there. And see, God's that way. God does that before the principalities of darkness. He says, look at the church, devil. Look what they just did. Look at that left hook they just threw your way. Right? Every time we do something smart, which is only when we follow the Holy Ghost, we give the devil a black eye. We knock him to the ground. And God says, look at there. Awesome, wasn't it? And he rubs it in the devil's face. And he's been enjoying that kind of thing for 2,000 years. We're coming to the end of the church age. Amen?
Amen.
It's getting near the end. But it's going to be glorious as we yield to him, as we follow him. I woke up yesterday with a word on my heart. It's a real simple word we all understand, and that is cooperate. Cooperate. And the Holy Ghost, immediately as he put it into my spirit, I immediately knew how he wanted me to understand it. He broke up the word C-O hyphen operate. Co and operate. And he just reminded me, Scott, you're operating with me. Co has to do with together, right? Like, and a co-contributor, right? Or co-anything. It means there's two forces working together. And God said, look, I'm operating, but you're operating with me. I think of Gideon when I think of that. He's a great example. Gideon looked really smart. I mean, Gideon beat this amazing force of Midianites. The Bible said they looked like locusts spread across the earth when they camped out there right before the battle. He said there was men and camels as far as you could see, like the sand on the seashore. Many times the Bible compares. And he said Gideon took how many? 300 guys up against, you know, hundreds of thousands of Midianites. And the Bible says he beat him. And what's even amazing to me, even in finer detail, Gideon took the 300, and the Bible says he divided them into three companies. What? You taking 100 men this way, 100 men over here, and 100 men over here? You realize how easy it is for thousands to overwhelm 100, and then they could turn and overwhelm that 100, and then come beat you too? No, but God gave him a wise strategy. He looked so smart. But all Gideon did is what? Cooperate. He just listened to God. He just turned his ear and said, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? None of us are smart enough to navigate this world alone. Amen? None of us are smart enough to beat the devil. I'm telling you, if there's some angelic being, if there's a being in this world who has studied mankind for thousands of years and knows us all well and knows our flaws and our every weakness, it's the devil. And you cannot whip him with your intellect. You cannot whip him with your wisdom or your wit. No, we all need the strategy of the Lord to give us victory. Amen? And that's what Gideon did. Like David, who too, if you follow the end of his story, it's kind of interesting. But Gideon, after the battle, after he won that great battle, the people came to him and said, be ruler over us. He said, I won't be ruler over you. I think something in his heart understood God was meant to be the king of this nation, not me. No matter how great the battle was, no matter how great the victory was. And so he said, no, I'm not going to rule over you. And like David saying, thine is the kingdom, right? Even though David was king of Israel, he said, Lord, thine is the kingdom. It's yours. Amen? So we're reminded to keep that in focus always, that the victory is always coming from God. Amen? If you're taking notes, write these phrases. He directs, we move, and power is released. He directs, we move, and power is released. That's what that phrase means. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. I want to read to you a quick excerpt about a revival I heard about yesterday as I was studying for this message. It's called the Cane Ridge Revival. Anybody ever heard of the Cane Ridge Revival that happened in Kentucky? A few of you have heard of it. This is amazing. And this isn't all the details. This is just a quick overview of the Cane Ridge Revival. On a Sunday morning in July 1801, a Methodist lay preacher stood on a fallen tree taking his text from 2 Corinthians 5:10. Which says, quote, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. An estimated 15,000 people gathered to hear him preach. When he finished, and they were out in the fields, by the way, this wasn't a stadium, it wasn't a building, they were out in the fields of Kentucky when this happened. And when he finished preaching, there were hundreds of people prostrate on the ground, seemingly unconscious. They had fallen into what looked like a trance. For the next several days, there were never a time but that at least 500 people were laying flat out on the ground. A bit of panic set in, and some thought they were dead. But after a few hours, these same people would revive with shouts of assurance of their salvation. It was like the sound of Niagara, someone said, referring to the noise of the people, which could be heard a mile away. Some cynical, mocking people would make their way to scoff at the happenings, only to be smitten and converted when they reached Cane Ridge. Now known as the Cane Ridge Revival, it's regarded as America's second great awakening. What is that? Power. Power. People would be just laid out on the ground. I heard another story, not from this book, but from another source. They said this woman had two teenage daughters, and they just fell out on the ground for hours. And while they were out, their faces were grimacing, and they were crying out. And every now and then, they would wake up out of that trance, and they'd just be screaming for mercy. They were so convicted, so under such conviction of their sins and their being out of relationship with God. And then they would just scream for mercy, and they'd fall back into that trance. When they finally woke up, when the two of them woke up, their faces looked like angels, they said. They were so convinced and assured of their salvation, and they went on to actually preach about the mercy of God, and they became the preachers among other groups of hundreds that were standing out there in the field. It was just amazing, amazing things. What is that? That's the power of God. Operating in the church. Amen. That's what we want. That's what we're after. And it comes as we acknowledge, Lord, it comes from you. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. The power moves and is released as we are directed by him. Amen. Just like it did in Gideon's life. Praise the Lord. Well, just one last reminder. God did not put this phrase at the end of the Lord's Prayer because he needs to be reminded. Thine is the kingdom. It's not like he needed to hear it himself. You know, he had forgotten that the kingdom belonged to him. No, the phrase is there for our reminding. Amen? That the kingdom belongs to him. You know, in the body of Christ, we have to be careful because as we begin to interact and get to know one another in our community, our local church community here, there can come a natural expression which is not of divine origin. The community that we have together, is the unity of it all is found in Jesus alone. In other words, if Jesus weren't the center of this church, I don't know that any of us would connect socially outside of this gathering, in the natural. I'm not saying you're that bad, but I'm just saying, you know, our unity, the bond that holds us here is divine. Is it not? It should be. It better be. Now, some of you are here with family. Some of you have some other natural connections. But I'm just saying the common core of any church that's been established by God is Jesus.
That's right.
It's the truth of Jesus. It's not because we have like interests. You know, we're all bike riders, or we're all horse riders, or we're all motorcycle riders, or this or that hobby group. Some churches have those kind of interest groups within them. But I'm telling you, the church that's built by him, Jesus said, I will build my church. And where Jesus builds his church, the gates of hell, he said, will not prevail against it. In other words, there'll be power there. Amen? So that's what we want. And that's what he reminds us of in the Lord's Prayer. I like how Robert Morris summed it up. He said this, if you want to take notes, it's really good. It's about his kingdom, it's through his power, and it's for his glory. Amen? It's about the kingdom. All that we do is about the kingdom. Not about Believers Fellowship, not about Scott and Terry Anderson as the pastors, or not about this or that group within the church. Everything that we do here should be about the kingdom, should be through his power, and for his glory. Amen? Stand together with me. Come as you are, flawed and cracked, earthen vessels, join the club. Amen? Peter said this. He said, don't forget, everything that you're going through, your brothers throughout the world are going through that same challenge, that same temptation, that same pressure. Amen? So as Benjamin Franklin would say, this is not biblical, but it's a good principle. Let us all hang together, lest we hang separately. Amen? Come on in. The body of Christ is here to strengthen you. This is a community where you can receive love, where you can give love. Amen? And it's not the love, it's not human love. Human love is all about absorption. It's what can you give me? Human love says, I need something from you. Jesus' love is always to serve the other. And so this is that community. Amen? We love each other in Jesus. I don't try to love you in my own strength. I love you as Jesus directs. Jesus teaches us how to love the brethren. That's what makes a divine church. That's what makes a church that is truly an expression of the kingdom on earth. Not a social club, not a clique. You know, some of you have been in churches before where you felt like, well, I'm not in that group, so I'm not really in the in group. Listen, by faith in Jesus' name, this church does not have an in group. We are the in group.
Amen.
If you're in, you're in. You're here. Amen. You'll find your place. But we're all accepted in the Beloved. Amen. His is the kingdom. His is the power. And His will be the glory for all the good things that happen here. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and thank Him today for the privilege of qualifying us to be in the kingdom. Lord, we just thank You. And we're just reminded through this part of the Lord's Prayer, this echo, Lord, from the ages, that the kingdom is Yours. The rulership is Yours. God, the power comes through You. We can't even love one another without Your power. We cannot walk in Your holiness without Your power. We cannot have provision in our life without Your power. We need it. We depend upon You, Holy Spirit. And therefore, all that comes from You will be to Your glory. Thank You, Lord. Teach us to walk in it, Father. To walk in kingdom power and kingdom glory. Hallelujah. We thank You. Thank You for the promise we find in these words. Thank You, Lord. I felt earlier as if someone had a word from the Lord, maybe a message in tongues, maybe a word of prophetic encouragement. If you have that, I want you to give it out right now to encourage the body. Just go ahead and step forward. And Terry, if you got the mic there. Okay, come on. Who's that?
Linda.
Okay. Take the mic back to Linda, please.
The body, that it's a privilege whenever we tithe. I haven't always tithed, but since I have tithed, I have found out that there is a protection over your money, or God's money, and whenever I give every month, it's like, oh, there's such a joy, because I know that the Lord is watching over His money. It's not really my money. It's His money anyway. But I am so excited to give it, because there is a protection there that isn't there if you're not giving to the Lord when you're supposed to. And I believe that's what the Lord has for
Praise
you
the Lord.
Today.
Praise the Lord.
Give, because He's watching over it.
Hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your obedience. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege.
Yes.
You know, I would be very depressed if I had to tie into only the economics of this world.
Yes.
It'd be a real challenge, wouldn't it, at times? Right? Because it can fluctuate. But in the kingdom, there's a steadiness.
Yes.
Amen? There's a peace we can walk in. There's a place of steady, no matter what's going on in the world around us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Welcome to the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. This is not a cult. This is not a club. This is God's family on earth.
Amen.
A place of safety, a place where you can be loved, a place where you can hear the truth that will lead you, and you can identify and find your place in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, if you need prayer of any kind, if we overlooked somehow, or you need any prayer as we close out today, Terry and I will stick around here before. But be blessed. Have a great week in the Lord Jesus. And next Sunday, be ready for our big picnic. Don't miss next Sunday, because we do have that update for you on the building. And do sign up with Dolly today if you're going to be a part of the burger station. In Jesus' name. Bless you.